Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Tonight is a kind of a unique show. It's going to be factual based. We're not going to drop any names for intent purposes, but I felt this was a show that needed to be done. As many of you know, I like to touch deep in the MMA community, as they're who made me, and I like to share their stories and help them find a way or an avenue in life. And I felt it was necessary to do this show tonight with Jason Reinhart. Before we bring Jason on, we're going to drop a little bit of audio. I kind of had to do it a little bit different than I usually do, but we're going to, you know, segue the show in with this audio, and then we'll pick the interview up with Jason right after this.
No, I did not do it. I swear.
Oh,
I
did you
not.
Do nothing.
I swear.
You
lay
there on your ass playing video.
I had a plate on the table. That's all.
You had a plate?
Yeah.
So you had part of it.
I had one plate.
Okay.
One
plate. I'm not putting up it because he had it cleaned up earlier. He
I'm
had
sorry.
It.
It's not.
Oh,
yeah.
You need to be. You gotta throw your shit! If you're gonna use my plate, put him in the goddamn washer!
Yes!
Clear.
Yes!
I'm not picking up after you!
I
and
they
he's
were!
He just shot
him!
Yeah, you are!
No, I'm not!
You would have left it there all night! And I'm not picking up after you!
I didn't say you were!
Yeah, you are! You
no,
want to
play
it! You're gonna lay there and play
not.
Video!
You didn't have to take my phone!
I'm gonna beat the shit out of you next if you don't mind me. out. You gonna do what I tell you?
No. I'm not going to bed.
No, you can't.
Why?
Are you joking?
I didn't do anything. I'm not going to bed.
Wow, you know, hopefully the audio was clear on that part. Welcome to the program, Jason Reinhardt. Jason, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Thanks for having me, Don.
You know, I listened to the audio. I'm a father. You know, it's disturbing to me. You know, first and foremost, I look at life as, you know, children are blessings, and kids are going to make mistakes, and situations are going to transpire. But as a parent, in no way, means, shape, or form do I look at my child as someone to take my aggression out on, beat. A child is pure. They're going to make mistakes in life. When you hear that audio and the situation that transpired after that, how did it leave Jason Reinhardt in thought? And what was the situation leading up to that audio?
Well, Don, you know, I feel the same way. I'm a teacher, you know, as far as a teacher teaching children martial arts. I have always stressed and emphasized the importance of not street fighting. I tell all my students, do not street fight. Street fighting is not the answer unless you're physically attacked. When I was teaching in Australia, after every child class, I would give a small speech, and that's one of the things that I would emphasize: respect, discipline, self-control. You know, what led up to this, Don, was I returned back to America after being in Australia for 1 year teaching. I was the head BJJ and MMA coach for Australian Top Team, two of the gyms in Melbourne, Australia. I returned back after about a year, and I started working for this child beater. I didn't know at the time this man was an alcoholic and had DUIs, and, you know, I didn't know this at the time, you know, and I started working for him as his service manager, basically running his whole service department at his business, at his mechanic shop. And His older kid, his older child, is like 20 years old. He's a good kid, man. You know, and he would come to me and ask me to teach him self-defense because his dad was always getting in his face. This was the older child. The child that you hear getting beat is a young boy. He just graduated eighth grade. The older child video or audio tape that when his dad was doing what you just heard. He was the one that audio taped that. Obviously, I was not there. If I would have been there, that would have never happened. Anyway, he taped that, and then he came to me and asked me to teach him, like I said, self-defense. And I didn't hear the tape at the time, and I told him, I didn't know how bad it was, man. I really didn't, because people like this that beat children are the best liars and the most manipulative, narcissistic people on the face of the earth. Anybody that puts their hands on a woman or a child, that's it. You know, that's a line you don't cross. I did not realize the extent of this because the man is a great liar. Well, I used to tell the boy, the older boy, don't ever punch your father. Don't ever punch your father. You'll regret it the rest of your life. Me and my dad are best friends. You know, I've been lucky in life. I've had great parents. I never realized until that tape was sent to me. It was sent to myself, and it was emailed to me by the older boy, and I did not realize the extent of that until my ears heard that. So I went to work, and I told this man, I said, I have a very big problem with you. And I said, you don't touch your children, man. You don't beat your children like that. You don't. That is a man rule. I said, your boy already had his eyeball shot out. The little boy that you're hearing getting beaten, those are being beat. That he's being beaten, by the way. Those are not just little taps.
No.
Anyway, the little boy, a few years back, got his eyeball shot out because the dad was out, left the kids at home, unsupervised. The record will show. And the younger sister accidentally shot a paintball gun at the little kid and shot his eyeball out. So the tape you're hearing is a tape of him doing that with all that poor little kid has been through and had his eyeball shot out and blind and being beaten like that and being talked to like that. That's even more heart-wrenching. So when I was at work, we would get in arguments about him. He told me, do not tell me how to discipline my kids. So I was very patient. I was trying to figure out how I could take care of this problem legally. And so anyway, one night in last November, see, I haven't been able to talk about this because I was arrested. So now that my court is over and I've pled to a lesser charge, now I can talk about it. I told him this night that he came in to his shop. It was closing time. It was my wife's birthday. I told him I had to leave tonight around 5:30. I can't stay late until 7:30, you know. Sometimes I'd stay late to there's a lot of work to do. And he knew this. He would always bully me. He would always bully other people. He's a big bully, all right? And people are scared to stand up to him. He's been that way his whole life. I mean, the whole community knows this. And the thing is, he tells me that he says, okay, hang tight. I'm going to leave for a few hours, and I'll be back. Well, this is about, 3:30, and he disappeared. And I've got five customers madder than hell wanting their cars. And I don't know where the owner is. And I tell them, I say, I'm calming them down. They're really angry. Anyway, he's in the parking lot hiding on the phone. I call him up and I say, where are you? I'm in the parking lot. I can see what all's going on. Get them out of there. Tell them anything. Now, look, man. I might be a lot of things, but a liar I am not. And I told the man, I'm done lying for you. You know, I needed the job. You know, my mistake is I didn't leave sooner. I should have left, just like my instructor, Mike Griffin, told me. My mistake that I did is I stayed there too long, as far as keeping the job. You know. Anyway, so he comes rocking in about 6 o'clock. By this time, I've missed my wife's birthday. This isn't about me, though. This is about the child. This is not about me, all right? But I'm just telling you the story, the facts. So he comes in, and he was paying me cash under the table, all right, like he does all of his people. Well, he comes in, I'm sitting down at my desk, and you have to understand the surroundings. It's an industrial office, and it's a very dangerous office. It's all concrete, and it has a step drop-off, 3.5-foot drop-off with no railing. And I've seen people fall down those steps before. And it's all concrete with steel doors. And he comes in, and I'm sitting there, and he looks at me, and he pays me my money. He shorts me a little bit. Nope, whatever. I'm not even tripping on that, you know. He did that every week, too. But anyway, so he ends up saying to me, he tells me, and don't ever tell me how to discipline my kids again. And I just kind of looked at him. And in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I'm gonna tell the authorities. That's what I'm – in my mind, I was like, I'm telling the authorities about this, period. And so – anyway, he looks at me, knowing damn good and well that I had to be at my daughter's cheerleading state playoffs the very next day on a Saturday. I wasn't even supposed to work Saturdays. That was my day off. And he looks at me, and I smelled alcohol on his breath, and I knew I was in trouble then because, well, he just got another DUI about a month ago, and this time it's aggravated DUI for driving without a license. This is the second DUI within 2 years, and he's in a lot of trouble. Karma's a bitch. But anyway, he looks at me, and I told him, I looked at him, and I said, of course, I said, you know that I've told you on Monday I have my daughter's cheerleading. What do you mean? I'm not even supposed to work Saturdays. I come in sometimes to help out. And he went crazy, Don. He went absolutely crazy, just like you saw or heard in the tape. He got in my face. He starts cussing, going nuts. I stand up. I thought it was a joke. I mean, really, I couldn't believe it. And I stand up and I said, are you serious? And remember I told you about the drop-off, the drop-off into the steps. And keep in mind, there's nobody in this office. It was just him and I. He had the son lie, and I don't blame the kid. The kid's scared shitless. He'll lie and say whatever his dad tells him. So anyway, I stand up and I said, are you joking? And he says, can I cuss on here, Don?
Oh, yeah. You can say whatever you
okay,
want.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know. I just want to tell you the exact words. He says, fuck no, I'm not joking. He's screaming like a madman, and I'm backing up trying to get my things to get the hell out of there. And as I'm backing up, getting out of there, he's coming forward, and he's pointing his finger, and he's saying, get the fuck out of here, you fucking d-. And I go, and I'm trying to leave, man. And so anyway, he got in my face even more, backs me up to this drop-off. Now, Don, if you know about my career, you know, I broke my neck in the cage before when I fought in my fifth pro fight for the SFC title. I've had back surgery. I've had neck surgery. I'm thinking I'm going to fall backwards into a concrete pit. At this point, I'm feeling my life is in danger, all right? So I put my hands up, and I told him, I said, you better get out of my face. And, man, when he said, fuck your daughter and her cheerleading, Don, I lost it, bro. I lost it, man. And I told the police I lost it. When I say I lost it, I hit him with a left hook and a right hand, about 40% power. Basically swatted him, okay, with a closed fist. And then I didn't hit him hard because I knew that I would hurt this man bad. And I don't want to hurt nobody. But I also don't want to see a kid getting hurt either. That's even more important. So anyway, his knees buckled. He falls into me and grabs me. And we go to the ground, and I'm on top of him, of course. And I put my knee on his stomach. I use a jiu-jitsu move, control move, because I knew he had a knife on him, which he did, in his pocket, because he always carried it. And he would always talk about how he would cut somebody and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was worried about that knife. And my mind was thinking about that knife. When I hit him, we went to the ground, put my knee on the stomach, and I said, I said to him, you dumb motherfucker. I said, you stupid motherfucker. Why did you do this? And I said, calm down. You better calm down. Nobody's in the office. Jeff Seals, well, I won't mention names, but Jeff knows. Jeff could have told the prosecution, could have told them that everybody was in the shop and nobody saw that, okay? But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so I in and put my knee on his stomach to control him, and he takes a latch of my hand. I was worried about that knife, and I wasn't paying attention to my left hand, and he just bit the shit out of my hand. You saw the pictures, Don. And even with him biting my hand and almost my finger, you know, very bad, you saw how deep he bit me, I still did not ground and pound him. I still did not elbow his face with my right free hand. I didn't even touch. I didn't punch him. I didn't do anything. He's screaming for his son, the same son that he beats, that you hear on the tape, for him to help him. Screaming for him like you can't believe, all right? And actually his voice went back to childhood-like ways. His voice, I've never heard a grown man scream like this, screaming for help with my knee on his stomach. And he went back to his childhood-like ways. And anyway, so he let go of my hand out of his mouth, and he starts screaming for his son to help him, screaming. And when his son opened that door, Don, I did not want his son to see his dad, see me on top of his dad, you know, even though I wasn't hitting him, even though I wasn't ground and pounding him, even though I just had my knee on his stomach. And I will tell you, I adjusted my knee and put some pressure in his ribs, and I heard the air go out of his lungs, which, hey, fair game, man. But he's lucky, he's very, very lucky that I have my martial arts self-control and I did not cave his face in. You know, so anyway, when his son opened that door, I got off of his father, and his father says, "I'm calling the police, I'm calling the police." And I looked at him, and I said, "Please call the police. I would tell them exactly what you did." So I go home, and I end up, I go home, and I grab my stuff, get out of there. I call my brother. I tell my brother what just happened. In the meantime, I look down in my car, and I had accidentally grabbed the man's coat. It had his keys in it, it had his wallet in it, and this can all be verified by my father and my dad and my brother. He had his keys in there, his wallet, customer's keys, and that knife. So when I'm talking on the phone to my brother, I said, "Oh my God, I accidentally grabbed his coat, the boss's coat. I grabbed his coat. So I said to them, "Please take this coat back. I'm not trying to do any vindictive type shit. I said, you know, I don't want nothing to do with that guy ever again." At this point, the police hadn't showed up at my house. And anyway, so my father and my brother took the coat back, and he's hiding in the back like the coward that he is. And the knife was in the pocket. I wish now I would have kept the coat and shown the police that the knife, the big knife he had in his pocket, the coat came off during the fight somehow. It came off of him in the fight somehow. But anyway, that's the story, man, and I got charged. The police came to my home. Now, Don, I've never been in criminal trouble in my whole life in 47 years, okay? You can look up my record, you know. So now this man has. He's had order protections on him. He's had, now he got his second DUI. He's been in trouble. I would love to put my record up against his record any day of the week. And anyway, so I waited at my house, and the police came. And I always thought honesty was the best policy, you know. And I told the police exactly what I told you, the story, the truth. And when he said, "Fuck your daughter's cheerleading," when the spit hit my face, I lost it. And that's when I threw the left and the right. Apparently I gave him some stitches in his chin. He was back to work the next day, I was told. But anyway, when I gave him stitches in his chin with the left hook, they told me, I thought it was a few stitches, but it was 17 stitches, 8 on the outside and 9 on the inside. I just found out when I went to court and finalized this deal. So anyway, I didn't realize he must use Avon products or something, because his skin must be very, very soft to take a light punch like that and to split him open, you know. So anyway, they charged me with assault and battery, class 3 felony, with great bodily harm, which carries 2 to 5 years in prison. And they were going to stick me with. They wanted to stick me with this. Make no mistake about it. They were trying their best. They really wanted to stick me with this, my attorney said. They did it because of the MMA fight, because of being a professional fighter. They didn't take time to look and really study. Now I'm talking about the prosecution. They didn't take time to really look and study the case and see how much self-control that I had on this child beater, okay? You know, and the thing is, I don't blame the prosecution, because here's why. Because, and I don't blame the police, Because here's why. The child, the poor child that's being beaten, he lied on the police report. He said that he saw the whole thing, that I just hit his dad for no reason, and I just attacked him for no reason whatsoever. Well, his dad made him lie, okay? I mean, I would love to take a lie detector test and have them take a lie detector test. I'm willing to do that in a heartbeat, and I guarantee you, you would find that he made his child lie on the police report. I promise you that, you know, so... That's the story, Don. I mean, you know, so I leave and I go to West Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm teaching martial arts. I'm making good money. And my attorney calls me and he says, you got to get home. They're trying to stick you with a felony. And I said, what do you mean? They're trying to stick me with a felony? I've never been in trouble in my life. Yeah, Jason, I know, but you're an MMA fighter. You're a pro fighter. And I said, yes, but man, I showed so much self-control, and don't they realize I could have really hurt this man bad if I wanted to? And thank God, thank the good Lord that I had a witness. So I come home from West Palm Beach, Florida. I go to trial. I go to court. And thank God I had, I'll say his name, Brandon Hott. Thanks God to Brandon Hott that came forward and told the prosecution 2 weeks before this madman got in my face and did what he did and backed me up to a concrete ledge and trapped me in that office, 2 weeks before that on a Saturday, which I wasn't there because I don't work Saturdays, 2 weeks before that, he got in Brandon Hott's face and did the same thing. But he did that in the shop. Brandon had room to get out of there. He was smart and got out of there and didn't fight the guy. I wished I could have ran and got away from him, but I was going to fall backwards. I was afraid. And that's it. So he came to court, told the prosecution, and I think that's really what made him realize, hey, look, this guy is a bad guy. And then the guy got the DUI, the second DUI, and they're thinking, wow, this guy's a very unconscious, selfish individual. But here's the part that's really, really disturbing me, and it's got me flabbergasted. I asked my attorney, I said, please show the tape. Please show the prosecution the tape. And my attorney said it doesn't have anything to do with anything. And I said, but I beg to differ, because it shows the man's character. It shows the man getting in the child's face. You hear the tape where the child says, what am I supposed to do? Let you keep hitting me? You know, or whatever he said. He said, what am I supposed to do? You're in my face. But he did the same thing to me, okay? Now, you would think that that tape would have been shown to the prosecution. At least try. At least try to show it to them. But to not even attempt to show it to them, that just boggles my mind. So I was scared. I was scared to go to trial. I wanted to go to trial if they would allow that tape in there. But keep in mind, the police report was fabricated, and I was nervous. I was scared that they were going to get me with a felony, you know. And so I took a plea deal because I was not guaranteed if the tape could be shown to show this man's, like I said, his aggressiveness and his narcissistic behavior. And so I took a plea deal to a misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor, a simple battery, 2 years probation, 100 hours of community service, and get this. This is the part that really is kind of, this is part, I have to take an anger management class. Now get that one. Figure that one out.
Yeah. You know, there's a few things that, you know, really don't sit well with me, and I've dealt with many of situations like this. You know, first and foremost, and I hope you don't take this to heart. I think your attorney was shitty, in my opinion. First and foremost. You know, I would have looked at the police officer that arrested me and said, now, if I would have came at you yelling and spitting in your face, you would have arrested me for assault on an officer. Because whether you lay your hands on an individual or you spit on an individual, it's still considered assault. So when that man jumped up and said, fuck your daughter, basically in those terms, and spit in your face.
Fuck my daughter's cheerleading. Fuck my daughter's cheerleading.
Basically, he assaulted you at that point in time when he spit
no
in your face.
No doubt about it.
And then with the aggressive nature, it showed the intent of where he wanted to take this. And with the previous knowledge that you had from his children sending you that videotape, you know,
audio tape.
In your
audio
heart
tape.
With working with him, audio tape, yes. And with, you know, in your heart with working with him, you already knew the veracity and the caliber of his nature. So, you know, one thing I don't understand why your attorney didn't utilize the fact that, in fact, you were the one that was assaulted first. You know, because if I would have spit on a police officer from yelling, or anybody else, they would be arrested right then and there on the spot and charged with assault on a police officer. You don't have to touch somebody to assault them.
Well, here's what I was...
That's the first problem.
Oh, go ahead.
That's the first problem I have. The second problem I have is, you know, I've dealt with many MMA fighters, like I said, that have been in your type of situation. You know, first thing that bothers me, there was no compassion showed towards the individual, the child himself. And I think the audio should have been played in court because it shows the intent of the individual. Now, I was one of the first people to break the Joe Torres story, the MMA fighter convicted on murder charges that was in his own house on New Year's Eve, and I explained this to you before. You know, and Las Cruces, New Mexico is a right to defend yourself state, and most states have gone that right. But when you look at, because you're an MMA fighter, you know, they tend to take it a little bit more serious. But in all provocational issues, you were the one that was assaulted first. Why was it that your attorney wasn't willing to bring up that issue or even state that fact at the point of time of arrest?
Well, Don, that's a great question. That's the million-dollar question, okay? And I will tell you, first of all, I like my attorney, okay? I'm not mad at anybody. This isn't about me. This is about making sure that child is safe. You understand, Don, this was my little buddy. Him and his son, I used to take them fishing. The mom left them. The mom signed the rights over and left the kids because she was so scared of the father. And she's had many, many order protections. She's came to Dove and lived with took the kids to Dove and tried to escape away from this manipulative man. Anyway, so I these kids were, you know, they I was teaching them martial arts. I mean, anyway. So the question is, your question is a million-dollar question, and I will tell you, my attorney says to me, the exact words were, Jason, well, let me back up. First of all, on the spitting, let me tell you what I learned. Yes, it is an assault if you spit on someone, of course. However, because I try to be fair now. So when he's in my face saying, fuck your daughter's cheerleading, and I've got my hands up, and the spit hits my face, he didn't intentionally spit on me because he didn't like hawker and you know how somebody will hawker and then spit on you. When he was in the act of his aggressive nature, the spit came out of his mouth. So technically speaking, he did not mean to spit on me, but the fact of the matter is he did. So I'm told that is not assault. Okay. Now, whether we could argue that, I don't know. However, back to my attorney, why he didn't show the tape. I kept begging him to show the tape, and his exact words to me when I was in West Palm Beach, Florida, his exact words to me, Jason, that would be a dick move on my part to show that prosecution the tape at this point. That's his exact words.
Wow. You know, I look at this whole scenario, And I look at you, Jason. You're a tremendous individual in life. And in fact, I have looked at this other individual's arrest record, and it's quite extensive. And it's nothing to be proud of, you know. And you look at the side of you. You're just a man with a caring, compassionate heart that these children cried out for help because they had no one else to go to. So you did what any person, any right man, any lawful man or caring man in that manner would do. I mean, I would have done exactly the same thing. If a child comes to me with that type of situation, I'm going to act or even possibly react. And, I mean, that's just human nature. You know, so, you know, I could understand them wanting to, you know, them calling the police and trying to get it figured out and the things of that nature. The part where I just lose it, and the reason I wanted to do this show is there's still, to this date, there's no compassion being shown for this young child.
No, there's not. And I've gone everywhere trying to get help, and nobody, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll tell it on record, Child and Family Services, in my town, they're a joke. You can't believe how rude this lady was to me, and I'm going to her superior. I've tried to go. I've taken that tape right after court, and I made my plea deal to drop them to get them to take a Class A battery misdemeanor, two years in probation, 100 hours of community service, and then that anger management class thing. You know, I guess that anger management class, that's standard, I guess, when people get in a fight or something. I've never been in trouble in my life, so I don't know any of this. So right after the judge made the decision to accept the plea, I whispered to my attorney, what about the tape? Now, what about the tape? He said, we'll talk about that later. Man, I said to myself, you know what? This has been since November. I'm not whole. My attorney told me I was stuck, man. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. My attorney would not let me show anybody the tape, or he wouldn't let me take the tape to the authorities. And that's what was really, really bothering me, man, bad. Because I'm thinking in my whole mind, this kid's still getting beaten. I know he is. Matter of fact, I had a phone call from a neighbor saying the kid comes down, he's got what looks to be like burn marks on his arms and bruises. This was just here recently, this guy calls me. And so I reported that to the police. Now, the police, the sheriff's office, they were horrified when they heard the tape. So they took it to DCFS. Do you know what DCFS said? This will blow your mind. DCFS said, let me back up. This, the Macon County Sheriff's Department, they're awesome guys. They're really awesome guys, and they took this very serious. They took it to the DCFS. I don't know if they did an investigation because nothing's being done, and you know, to keep this kid safe right now, nothing's being done. And so the officer calls me the next day, and he tells me, Jason, he says, they say the tape is too old, and the tape is too old. Now, Don, let me ask you this. I didn't know a tape expired when it comes to beating a child. That means if, let's say, somebody does a crime, robs a bank, and let's say they have it on tape, you're going to tell me that they're not going to charge a person with bank robbery because a tape is too old? Well, what about a child? So you say money is more important than a child's life? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what that is saying. So I've tried every avenue possible to go to so many authorities, because you know me, man. I don't quit, bro. I'm a fighter. I don't quit, man. And I told the guy right after I left, as I was leaving, I told him, I said, I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you famous, I promise you. And I'm not going to actually make you famous. I'm going to make you infamous. And that's what I'm doing. And you know what the thing is? But I will say this. I did talk to, I took that tape to the head guy. I don't want to say the name because it will probably come out. And I really commend this man that I took this tape to, because I believe he's going to do everything humanly possible under the law that he can do it. And he showed compassion. He showed concern. He was flabbergasted when he realized that nothing's been done. Okay. And I told the man, the head guy of the town, I told him, I said, look, I'm getting calls now, months later, I'm getting Facebook messages and calls from the neighbor of this scumbag that the child, you know, like I told you, the bruises and the what looks to be like burn marks, you know, and then also him driving a mini bike up and down this road with a lot of hills with no helmet on, going at a high rate of speed, you know, and he's a young child. So, you know, that's dangerous in and of itself. I mean, you know, the kid is being left at home unsupervised, I'm being told. So obviously, what do I do? do I sit there and do I not report that, what I'm being told after the whole story, after everything that's been done? And then I just recently received this call and this Facebook message from the neighbor. Do I just turn a blind eye, or do I go to the authorities? Well, I don't turn a blind eye to injustice, especially involving a child or a woman or innocent people. I don't do that. That's just not built in my core. That's not built into me. I cannot turn a blind eye to injustice, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, my friend, before we even started this interview and, you know, before we even got into a talk of any type of magnitude, you know, after listening to the recording, it had made me very ill and very sick to my stomach, because if you listen to it, I mean, I can understand, you know, giving your son a swat on the rear end and, you know,
yeah,
saying,
sure,
you know, this isn't correct, or, you know, you're going to be on restriction. But this man is physically beating this child.
Absolutely.
And that don't sit well with me, you know. So what I'm going to do in the next couple of days here, and I'm a man of my word. Anybody that knows me knows that I follow through on anything that I do. I happen to have a lot of friends who are U.S. Marshals. They have no jurisdiction. And
thank you, Don.
You know, with your honor, you know, or your respect, and asking you, is it okay if I forward this tape, to the recording, to these people that I know in the U.S. Marshals Service, because they have no jurisdictional boundaries, like I said. I will not be able to sleep at night, or
I haven't been able to sleep at night. Believe me, I know, man. Believe me, I know, brother.
I mean, but, you know, the thing I'm getting at is, what are we going to do if next week this child ends up dead? What are we going to do if this man comes home?
That's exactly what I told. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What was the last part?
I was going to say, you know, what if this man comes home in a drunken stupor, or gets his kids in the car while he's intoxicated? As his record shows, it doesn't mean anything to him to get a DUI. You know,
absolutely,
this child's life is in danger.
Absolutely.
And if you don't value a child's life, then you don't give a shit.
That's,
you know,
right.
A child could screw up. A child could mess up. They're a child. You
yes.
know, the whole thought process that I have here is, we all talk about making our future brighter for our kids. We all talk about giving our kids a better life than what we had. And here's these children that are being forced to lie,
yep,
not knowing if they're going to live another week. They're scared to hell, to the point that they're lying and fabricating, you know, official documents. What's to say this
absolutely
man's not going to kill these children? And
I don't.
I can't
capable
sit that way.
He's capable, I promise you that. Now he's capable, believe me. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable the stories that people tell me about this man, and I'm learning, and the things I've learned since this incident. You know, as far as you having permission on that tape, hey, that tape, I'm not the only one that has that tape. Keep in mind, the child, the older boy taped that tape of his dad beating his younger brother, and that tape has been circulated around. I mean, you know, there's his own cousin has heard that tape and didn't do anything about it. That's what really disappoints me. His own cousin didn't even go to the authorities with that tape, and he knew about the tape before I did. So that's very disturbing. You know how hard it was for me since November to not be able to talk about this, about that tape? You know how hard that's been? Because, hey, man, you take your counsel's advice. You take your lawyer's advice. You know, I mean, I've got to look out for my own family, too. If I'm in prison, what good am I to them? You know, I'm scared to death, man, because of the fact that I've never been in trouble before. I don't know the law. I thought if you were honest with the police and told them what happened, they would investigate this more, you know. But I don't blame the police. Look, I did admit hitting him. So I did admit hitting him. So, but with the circumstances, I thought that at the very least we both should have been arrested, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with you, because in my eyes, I mean, just not even being there, you know, and understanding the law the way I do, You know, it was a mutual assault. And, you know, that's anybody that has the intent, and this is written in the law enforcement, you know, handbook, anybody that shows intent, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to, you know, build up a big spitball in their mouth, but anybody that shows intent to do bodily harm or come at you in a exasperated manner, put you in fear and jeopardy of your life. So in those regards, you were just defending yourself. And
absolutely,
it escalated to a point that he pushed you in a corner and you had to defend yourself. Now,
it was on a ledge, Don. It was on a ledge, a ledge where I was trapped in an industrial office into a concrete pit, which was the stairwell, and I was on the very, very, very edge of it. And consciously in my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to fall and break my neck here. You know, that's what consciously in my mind was. I was thinking, you know.
You know, I'm sorry, my friend. You know, it's. You know, I know you're friends with your attorney, and I know you put the ultimate faith in him. But being the fly on the wall, as you would say in this scenario, I feel you were greatly unjustified. He didn't do his job in a thorough regard, in my way I think. You know, just hearing the story
out.
That's
what everybody has said, Don.
Yeah, I feel you were done unjust. You know, I'll take you to a situation 20 years ago, and it kind of is along this line, and then we'll get back onto the interview. You know, I was involved in a situation where three individuals came into my house, assaulted me, pepper sprayed me. I picked up a floor lamp, and I hit two of them with it to ultimately have a gun cocked and put against my head. I let the lamp down. I noticed an individual was on the phone in my house that they broke into. I yanked the phone out of their hand, and, of course, the phone jack gets yanked out of the wall. Well, the sheriff show up. I get arrested.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm thinking in my mind, how could I be arrested for something that I was sitting in my house watching TV? They came in my house, assaulted me, pepper sprayed me, beat the crap out of me, and so make a long story short,
Don. I'm sorry that happened to you. It's a terrible feeling, man.
Yeah, it is. And well, you know, I go to court because I know in my heart I'm innocent. I plead not guilty. And in the state of California, you know, because the court systems are overburdened, I sit in jail for 7.5 months. You know, and I finally get my day in court, and my attorney walks up to me and says, here's the plea. And I'm like, what do you mean, here's the plea? I want to go to trial. I did nothing wrong here. And they're stating, well, they didn't find the firearm that you said. You know, you yanked the phone out of the wall. I said, but I was in my own house, and I was attacked. And so I looked at the situation, and I realized that, no matter what, it's not about you. It's about pushing people through the legal system, keeping the courts moving, and whether it's fair or unfair, just or unjust, they could give two rat's asses about you, about your clean criminal record, about this child. All they're worried about is keeping the courts moving. So, like I said earlier, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this audio recording on to people that I know care about children, and they just happen to be U.S. Marshals. And one individual in particular, I know this isn't going to sit well with him at all. So, you know, like I said, you know, probably in the next few days, this individual is probably going to contact you, and I hope you don't mind, but
I would love to, I don't mind at all, Don. And you know, here's the thing. Well, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you? I didn't finish what you're saying. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I would just like to see this go a little bit further. I have a caller on the line. I don't know who it is. It's from your area code.
Okay.
It's up to you if you want me to take the call or not.
I'm willing
to do whatever.
Hey, you know what? Hey, what's the beautiful thing about this whole thing is I have absolutely nothing to hide, and I've told the truth. And guess what? All one has to do is just play the video and play the audio, and I don't have to say a word. I mean, if you just played that audio and I didn't even do this interview, the audio speaks for itself. It shows the man who the man is.
Would you like me to accept the call, or would you
like me to
just...
Of course. Of course.
Okay, but...
People can ask me anything they want. But, yeah, of course.
Hello, you're on the line. You're on the air with a fighter's voice. How can I help you?
This is supposedly the child who's being beaten.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, Don, cut him off because I'm not supposed to have any communication with him. Cut him off.
No.
That's the child that took the video. Cut him off, Don.
I did. He's cut
off.
Okay,
cut him off. Listen, buddy, I'm not supposed to have any third-party communication with them. That was the boy that recorded the tape.
Okay.
Yeah, do not.
Calls
I cannot
just lining
have
up.
Any.
I'm not taking any more calls, so hold on.
Yeah,
that was the boy
that videotaped his dad beating his young boy, his young son.
Okay.
So that was him. So I can't have any third party, any contact with those people, and I don't want that. So absolutely not. So you had to shut that off, please. Thank you.
Yes, I did. And to all the callers, and there's probably 40 or 50 callers on my board right now. I am not going to take any phone calls from anybody. So if you want to listen to the show, I'll continue to let you listen to the show, but I am not going to let anybody onto the air. Out of respect for Mr. Reinhardt.
Here's the thing, Don. I am not supposed to have any third-party connection with these people, which I won't ever. And I don't. There's no way that I can speak to.
Well, you didn't. You didn't. I did.
Exactly.
I brought him onto the show. You didn't.
Okay. Good.
I did.
Yeah. Good.
You didn't do it. That was my responsibility. I took the call. And now all the calls are dropping.
Good.
Much respect to the people that were calling to back Mr. Reinhardt, but in all fairness, I want the story told in its entirety. Without any drama,
right.
Without any theatrics, or any further repercussions against Mr. Reinhardt. So I will not be accepting any more calls on today's episode. I don't roll drama, and I don't take things in that aspect. So
yeah.
If you want to listen to the show, you can. Other than that, I will not answer your phone calls.
Yeah, and then, Don, and here's the thing, man. All anybody has to do is just listen to the tape, and that tells everything. You know what I mean, man?
Yes, sir. It did with me. It made me want to
interview.
It would
with anybody.
You know?
Anybody. I'm a parent, man. It would with anybody.
Yeah, and even before I talked to you and I heard the audio, I knew I had to do this interview. This is one thing in life, you know. I interview thousands and thousands of people a year. My sponsors back me 1,000%. My listeners back me 1,000%. I've been called the Barbara Walters of MMA, and that's fine. You know, but
yeah.
If it takes getting a true story out there and giving a fighter or anybody in this walk of life a voice, that's why my show is called The Fighter's Voice. It's to give people a voice that they can't get out on any other form of media, or, you know, they can't get their story told, but I felt this needed to be told, so we're going to do it.
I believe that it does, and of course, because, you know, so far as nothing's been done, and, I never believed the man, I've never believed the man when he said I never believed his ex-wife when she said he was so crazy. And I thought it was her. He had me convinced it was her. Well, I tell you, she's called DCFS, and they've been out there several times, and and the record will show that she's indicated that he has abused the children before, including the young girl, one of the young girls, and the record will show that. And then obviously the kids lie, and they're scared to death of their father. And again, just go back to the tape. Just that's all it needs. You just go back to the tape and listen to the madman. That's all.
Yeah, the bottom line is it's beyond that now. It's gotten into the hands of myself, and I'm a caring, compassionate man. And, you know, I know people say in life that there's three sides to every story, but if you listen to that audio without hearing any story,
yeah,
it's going to make you sick to your stomach. It's going to make you sick to your stomach. And, you know, so people could say, oh, well, you're being biased. No, I'm not being biased. If you just listen to the four-minute audio at the beginning of my program and don't even listen to the interview, if that sits well with you, then, my friend, you're not a parent. You don't understand what parenting is, or you have no compassion in life, in my heart, in my eyes. You know, this audio alone made me sick to my stomach, and I felt compelled to reach out to you and do this interview. What would you like to see, you know, perplexed in the future? I'm going to already help you with the U.S. Marshals Service because I believe that jurisdictionally you've not been dealt with fairly. I feel your attorney did you an injustice in court, you know, because in my eyes and just hearing the thoughts, it was a dual infraction there. It was a dual assault, you know.
Absolutely.
And the state that I live in, if you even spit on the ground in front of somebody, it's clarified as an assault. So the willful intent of him yelling will also hold up in a court of law in the state that I'm from. You know, being that the state that this, you know, occurred in is different, is the reason why I want to bring in my friends who are in the U.S. Marshal Services. There's no jurisdictional policy there. And, you know, the children's safety is the biggest issue at heart.
That's
here.
The number one thing, Don, the child's safety. You know, you asked me what I would like to be done. Do you know what I'd like to have done? Do you know what I'd like to have done over all this? Now, people might think that I'm, people might not like my answer. You know what I'd like to have done all this? I'd like to have the man get some help.
What's wrong with that answer? You know,
if
the man is willing to get help, then the man is willing to admit he has a problem, and therefore the children's safety is in a much better place, and
that's right.
We can all move forward in life. And
absolutely.
That's what the
that's
ultimate
right.
goal is here, is protecting these children.
Right.
You know, I'm going to let
exactly.
one more time.
Yeah,
hold
exactly.
on a second, Jason. Hold on 1 second. You know, I probably got about 80 callers, 90 callers on my board. I'm just going to let you know right now that I'm not taking any calls. You're more than willing, you know, willing to listen to the program. Is the link is live. Once the show is over, the link is still going to be out there. But I am not going to let anything occur on my show that is unprofessional. I'm not going to let anybody come on my show and bash anybody, nor am I going to jeopardize the freedom of Mr. Reinhardt. So if that is your intent,
I mean,
or your purpose,
I don't want anything what's that?
Oh, I was just going to say, if that's their intent or their purpose of calling in, then they might as well hang up and just listen to the recorded version of the show, because they're not going to get through on the phone lines. Now go ahead with what you were saying, Mr. Reinhardt.
Well, and you know, the thing is, we haven't said any names either. So
no.
And the thing is, you know, and quite honestly, I don't want to really say any names because, you know, people don't take too lightly to child abuse.
No.
You know.
And
you know, I think the man. I would like to see the man get help. He, like I said, he just got his second DUI. He had his first DUI about 2 years ago. He just got his second one, driving without a license. He just got charged. I know you're innocent until proven guilty, so let me make sure I say that. But he was charged with a second DUI, which is a felony this time because of the fact it is he was driving without a license. So he's in a lot of trouble. But I do not, let me make this one more time. I cannot have any contact. I cannot go by his business, which nor do I want to. I don't want anything to do with any of those people, ever. I don't want to see his face. I don't want to talk to nobody that knows them, that goes back to them. I do not have any third-party contact with them at all. And I'm glad you shut that off when that the boy that taped the video of his father beating his younger brother. I'm glad you shut that off, Don. So that was a good move on your part.
Well, the thing of it is they have the right to call the show.
Sure.
You had no prior knowledge of this of these people calling into the show. You had no idea who was on the other end of the line. You had
not until I heard the
no reason to believe it was a third party contact. We have not mentioned any names on this program. They took it upon themselves to jump into a show that you're a part of. They initiated the contact, so in all legalities, you're not responsible for the contact or the content of the show. They called in wanting to. You had no knowledge of this, so nothing will.
Right.
And there's no intent on your part. You know,
of course.
Like I
my
said,
my intent
the reason
is to get this man
this
some
show,
help, and my intent is two things: get this man some help and to get this child safe.
Yes, and I'm going to do that because you know I have a child of my own.
And so do
and
I.
This is sickening. It's absolutely
it is.
Sickening.
It's absolutely just it's so sickening. It's beyond belief. I mean, and you know, a child, you know, taping this. Hey, and here's the other thing. Get this. If you say, oh, the tape's old, really? That means that's even worse, because that means the boy was a lot younger.
Yeah, it means he's still being.
Think about
beaten.
That one for a minute. Think about that defense. Think about that. Oh, that tape's just old. Oh, really? Well, that means the boy was even younger.
Yeah.
Children getting beat physically and mentally, getting abused, tapes don't expire in my eyes.
They don't expire in my eyes. And the thing that gets me is that this child, or these children actually, are still being abused.
I don't know if they're still being abused. I just got a phone call from their neighbor stating the fact that what looks to be like burn marks and bruises up and down the young boy's arms, both arms. So I don't know that for a fact. I'm just reported what I was called, what they called and told me.
Yes, and that's the purpose of the show. You know, the thing of it that just isn't sitting well with me is because you know. The said individual, you know, took it upon himself to get on my page, and I'll look at my messages here in a minute because my inbox is completely blowing up. You know, I'm going to let them know right now I will not have any third-party contact nor first-hand
Absolutely.
Contact with you. I will not respond to any derogatory remarks. The content of my show is strictly the content of the owners of the station, the owners of the show. If you have any issues, you can contact the attorneys above. I will post their phone number later. As you know, America is a country that gives us all a right for freedom of speech. Everybody
Absolutely.
Has a right to tell their own story.
Yep.
Mr. Reinhart did not insinuate, interrogate, or you know, bring on a third-party contact. The contact was initiated by that said third party, so in fact, they're in violation of the court order. So if you look at it that way, I suggest you stop calling my show or hang up now. You know, Jason, this is not over. This does not sit well with me. As many know, I take on many stories like this in not just the sport, but in life in general, because there's truly not too many compassionate people left in this world. I happen to be in my 50s. I happen to be a man who believes in the future. And
yep.
if you know, treat our future so irresponsibly, then, you know, what are these children to gain? And if you look at, you know, people, they really don't understand. I'm going to explain a scenario because a lot of people truly don't understand life and its complexity. You go to East L.A., or you can even go to Anaheim, and people think Disneyland, beautiful place. There's individuals that live there that have never been off a 6x6 block. And people say, oh, bullshit. No, this is fact. The reason they've never been off that 6x6 block is because gang life is all they've ever known. They were children born by children. They were taught the gang lifestyle. They were taught violence. And so what, in fact, you got is a society created by children who were, you know, by parents who were drug addicts and gangbangers and things of this nature, and they've instilled this in their kids. And you take life for what it's worth, and we want to give our children a better place and give them a better life than what we had. And in L.A. and in a lot of different gang-riddled areas, these children don't have an opportunity to understand what life is. You know, back on some of my previous episodes, I talked about the good old days. And then I realized that these children nowadays will never know what the good old days is, or are. I apologize. But this doesn't sit well with me. And I'm not going to let a child be abused, whether it's this child or another child. And the intent of the show was to show the heart of Mr. Reinhardt and the situation that he was caught up in, the charges that were then ensued. And the thing that got me the most was because you're a law-abiding citizen that instead of going out and drinking and driving or going out and causing chaos in today's society, you chose to be a mixed martial artist, which takes a lot of dedication and time. And not only did you do that, you took the time out of your life to give back to support the community that created you. And in my eyes, that's made you a compassionate person. You want to see society a better place. What would Jason Reinhardt, other than seeing this man get help, what would you like to see, you know, perplexed from the situation?
Well, can you rephrase that question a little bit? Like, what do you mean?
What would you, other than this man getting help in this situation, overall for all families or all children that are out there suffering, you know, similar type of situations, if there's a child listening to my show today that is being abused and doesn't have a way out, what type of words would you give those children to help them?
Well, that's a great question because I'm working with an organization. This has opened my eyes up to a lot. Like I said, I'm very blessed to have great parents. I didn't realize that kids would actually be abused by their own blood father, by their own father, whether it's a stepdad or a biological father. In this case, this was a biological father. I never realized, I talked to Jens Pulver about it, you know, Jens Pulver, UFC lightweight champion, he's been very vocal about his life and how he was abused as a child by his father, and you know, this has opened my eyes up. You know, bad things happen, and sometimes good things come out of it, and I want to get involved in an organization to help these kids that they can come to somebody and feel safe, and they can tell, hey, look, my dad's beating me and doing this, and I don't know where to turn. And what I would like to tell these children is you need to report and go get help and ask somebody that you trust. Go to the law. Go to the police officer. Let them know. But then that's a catch 22 because then these kids are so scared that then are they going to get beaten even more? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I want to get involved with this organization, Fighters Against Child Abuse out of Australia, and I want to be the American branch and really, you know, get an organization going here where kids can come and feel safe and talk to us and we protect them by law, not by no vigilante stuff, but by the law we can protect them, you know.
And, you know, I like to take that a step further. Once you get everything, you know, hammered out, and I'm sure my sponsors would be more than willing to jump on that, you know, I would like to, you know, with no charge to you guys, I would like to add a sponsorship page to my radio station for any child looking for help, any parent.
That would be great.
Yes, you know,
that would
any
be amazing.
Yeah, and it's done, brother. Any parent that is in a situation where the other half is abusing, them or their children, I want to give you guys a safe haven, a place that you can reach out with without having to go through the theatrics of society and letting everybody know your laundry. Everything would be done with the utmost discreet nature.
Yes.
As children are our future, and like I said, if you just go back and listen to the first 4 minutes of the show before Mr. Reinhardt even came on, if that doesn't make you sick to your stomach and it doesn't make you want to help any child in that type of situation, then I don't know what to say to you. That the audio just itself made me want to do this show. I reached out to Mr. Reinhardt to do the show. He didn't reach out to me. I reached out to him. Sir, you know, it's truly been an honor to have you on. Once you get the organization information to me, I'll gladly put that on my page, as the United Way Merced is already one of my sponsors on my page. They care about society. They care about children. And
good.
You know, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez is truly a tremendous individual and a man that truly loves his kids in life and is a true example of what it is to be a father, as with all the sponsors on my page. And as with you, you took that extra step in life to show what a true individual is supposed to do in these types of situations. And
well,
in my opinion, you were dealt an unjust hand. You know, does it...
That's okay.
You know,
that's okay, man. That's okay. Life, this is life, and, you know, I'll take my punishment like a man and move forward in life. I'll be okay. Is the kid going to be okay? That's my whole concern, you know?
Yes, mine too.
You know, and here's one thing that does suck. I will tell you one thing that does suck. You know, I make my income by going out of the country and teaching in other countries. You know, and I was offered a nice gig, a nice job in Saudi Arabia, and with me being on probation, you know, even though they dropped it down to a misdemeanor, I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to take this nice paying job to support my family to go to Saudi Arabia for a 6-month contract.
But, you know, knowing that the individual that you are, I know that it even though it hinders you, you still wouldn't have changed the actions that you took.
No, nobody's going to get in my face and back me up on a concrete ledge and act like a madman and screaming in my face and then say, fuck your daughter's cheerleading. No way, man. No way. And then absolutely not. Now, you know, I don't think any father would put up with that. And what I find interesting is him and I were the only ones in there. Nobody saw it. It was him and I. And, you know, to have your children lie for you, even the oldest son would come to me and say, man, my dad is a liar. My dad's a liar. My dad makes – I'm just so sick. Because that boy that called in, the oldest boy, he's a good kid, man. He is. He's a good kid. But he's had such a hard life with their mom leaving him because she wanted away from the father's abusive ways. And, you know – The oldest kid, he even told the kid that videotaped his dad beating his son. He used to come to me and ask me, Jason, please teach me how to fight. I say, why? What's up, man? Yeah, everybody should learn how to defend themselves, but what's up? And he says, my dad, you know, my dad's always getting in my face and getting physical with me, and he's beating up my brother, and I told him, I said, you know, this is before I heard the tape. I told him, I said, don't ever punch your dad in the face or don't ever punch your dad, dude. You just, you know, but I had no idea this stuff kind of, I have never heard a tape like this. I had no idea this stuff existed on a father doing this to a child. I don't know how you could do this to a child. And really, you can't really apologize for it and say, oh, yeah, it was just a mistake. No, that's either built inside of your core, of your being, of your soul, or it's not. You don't put your hands on a child or a woman. That's a man rule number 101.
You're so correct.
You know what, Jason? I mean, bro? You don't do that, dude. That's either built inside your soul or it's not. You know, and there's no really apologizing for that. Your apology should be go get help that you deserve, that you need. Go get the help that your community deserves. The community deserves to be safe from this man drinking and driving recently and abusing his children. This man needed, let me ask you this, Don. Would you want your child to go play over to home not knowing whether the man was a child abusing his child? Would you want your child going playing with his boys?
Hell no.
Okay.
No, because I would end up in prison myself if the said individual laid a hand on my child. You know, well, there's one thing I've always taught my son, and I've always led by example in this. I nor any other individual, do they have a right to lay a hand on anybody? Nobody has a right to lay a hand on anybody, whether it be a man, woman, child. You know, I don't know where people get the thought that in life you have a right to attack somebody or beat on somebody. Nobody has a right to lay a hand on anybody. You know, I come from a home that my mother was beaten. I was a beaten child myself. Instead of my mother going to you know, Child Protective Services, she shipped me off to, you know, military school. And, you know, it was disheartening, but I learned to be a greater man because of it. You know, I didn't hear I love you for my mother until I was 30 years old, and at that point in time, she explained to me why she did what she did, and she said, out of the 6 children that I had, you're the only one that he beat. She said, I was a single mother. What was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to feed my other kids? You know, people want to blame these women and say that they're responsible for it. When you've got 5, 6 kids to feed, how can you be responsible when you're getting your ass whooped on a daily too? And, I mean, it wasn't just a slap here and there. He broke my mom's nose, broke her orbital, fractured her chin, and several other. I mean, she's had her nose broken multiple times. And even at one point, he almost ripped her ear off the side of her head completely. God rest my mother's soul in heaven. But the day when I was 30 years old and my mother told me this, I looked at her and I realized that my mother truly loved me. And she gave me an opportunity to have a life, to be a child. And for 30 years, I held all that aggression against her. And, you know, you got to look at life for what it is. And I ended up having the best relationship with my mother from the time I was 30 until she passed away. You know, that's why this story really hit home with me, because I know what it is to be an abused child. He stabbed me in my back with a screwdriver. He busted my head open with an ashtray. He used to throw full beer cans at me. And mind you, I was 5, 6, barely, and all the way up to I was almost 7 years old this occurred. And, you know, I don't want this to happen to any child. That is one of the main reasons why I felt this show was necessary. And if anybody's listening, I reached out to Mr. Reinhold because I wanted to get to the bottom of the story. I wanted the facts to be heard. And like I said earlier, the third party that is involved in this, they called my program. They reached out. They violated their side of the protective order.
Yeah.
I'll say, not Mr. Reinhold, but these are words from my mouth. The only way they would have known about the show is if their father had them call in. And
I have no idea, man.
Sickening.
I don't have any communication with those people. I don't want nothing
to
do with
any of them. I'm stating that from my fact, from my heart, from my opinion, not from you, sir. You know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
There's, you know, I'm going to state it again. You know, I can't even tell you how many people are, you know, have called into the board right now. It's beyond what my station is capable of. I'm not going to answer any of your phone calls. I don't mean any disrespect, but We're not going to cause any legal repercussions towards Mr. Reinhart, or are we going to allow any drama to be played out on my show? You know, Jason, I truly commend you for what you've done. You're a true warrior in my eyes. You understood the veracity of the situation, and instead of doing like most of what society does, they pull in their garage door,
yep,
and they close it, they shut their blinds, and they don't care what happens in society. It's people
like
you
the
that
ostrich.
Make it different.
They're like the ostrich, yeah, that puts their head in the sand, you know?
Yes. But it's people like you who make a difference in this world. On that note, I truly commend you for coming on my show today.
I thank you, Don, but I want to let everybody know, this isn't, this, look, I don't look at myself as any type of great person for doing this. I just, this is just what's in my soul, my heart, and this isn't about me, man. This is about making sure this child is safe, and you know, and that's it, you know. I mean, the tape was audio and sent to me by the oldest boy reaching out to me and, you know, asking for my help, you know. So, you know, I wished I could have shown the prosecution this in November, but I had to hold on to this tape, and because of the advice of my counsel, and the prosecution never heard this tape. And I truly believe in my heart, had they heard this tape, I would have been exonerated of all charges, possibly. But hey, that's okay. You know what? You know, misdemeanor battery. You know, it's a misdemeanor. But you know, I still take it very serious. And I want to give a message out to all these kids out there and anybody that's listening. Listen, man, I've never been in jail in my life. Okay, ever. All right. I spent the night in jail. Let me tell you something. Anybody that says jail's cool or, oh, man, you're an idiot. Jail is the worst place on – you can – if you have not been to jail, trust me, you do not want to go there. You want to be a law-abiding citizen. You do not want to go to jail. Believe me on that one. And I'm – you know, not – you know, it's just everything about it. And so I hope that message can be clear to – kids and these wannabe gangsters that think it's cool to go to jail. It's not cool to go to jail. And it's not, and you don't street fight, man. Street fighting, that is the last resort, street fighting. That is the last resort. You know, yeah, I've been in street fights before, and the thing is, I've never started a street fight in my life, but I will tell you, Don, being a UFC veteran, you do have a target on your back in a small town. I don't go out, Don. I go home, and I stay home. I work out, and I go back home. I do my private lessons. I go back home. I don't go out. You know, the last time I went out in this town was years ago. My wife wanted to go. I've been married 22 years. My wife wanted to go to listen to a band, and we were listening to a band, and this guy comes up to us and says, "Hey, are you Reinhart?" And I'm nice to everybody. I said, "Hey, man, I'm Jason. How you doing?" He said, "My buddy over there wants to take you outside. He thinks he can take your title." And I said to him, I said, "Man, what title?" And I grabbed my wife. I said, "Let's get the hell out of here, man." So, and that's the last time I ever went out, you know. But people don't realize being a fighter, you wouldn't think that you would, but you get screwed with. You get messed with, man. And you know, that's why I like going out of the country and going other places where people don't know me that much, you know, like versus my hometown where I'm very well known, you know, because I feel trapped, you know. I can't go out, you know, because I don't want to get in trouble, you know what I mean? That's the last thing I want to do. I don't get in trouble, man. You know, I'm a business owner. I don't get in trouble. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. You know, just for, I mean, because my board is completely just exonerated. But what I'm going to do right now, if you tuned in after the first 4 minutes of the show, with your permission, Mr. Reinhart, I'm going to go ahead and play the audio from that. The beginning of the show one more time, just so people can get the complexity, the full story of where we came from on today's show, and I'm going to do that right now.
No, I did not do it. I swear.
Oh, you didn't
not.
Do nothing.
I put
you,
a, I had
you
a plate.
You laid there on your ass playing video.
I had a plate on the table. I saw.
You had
that play?
Yeah.
So you had part of it.
I had one play.
Okay.
One
I'm
play.
Not putting up a because he had it cleaned up earlier. He
I'm
had
sorry.
It.
It's not
oh,
perfect.
Yeah. You need to be.
It's not always
you gotta throw your shit. If you're gonna use my play, put him in a goddamn washer.
Okay.
It's clear.
Yes.
I'm not picking up after you.
How many times he physically assaults that child, and you could hear the veracity of the hitting.
Yes.
No child should have to live through that. And the reason I played it again was because some listeners tuned in after the first 5 minutes of the show. That audio right there, if it doesn't touch your heart, then I don't know what will. And
yeah.
Intent of today to express the safety of this child and all children, and
yes,
to show
John.
The demeanor of the individual involved. Mr. Reinhardt,
well,
I know you don't want to take any, me saying, you know, I commend you or anything like that. And that just shows that the character that you bestow in your life and in your heart and as a father. It truly has been an honor to have you on the show, and I will be working very closely with you in the next couple of days to help further you and the organizations that you're working with now. You've got a brother for life, sir.
I appreciate that, Don. And Jens Pulver, UFC lightweight champion, first lightweight champion, Hall of Famer, Jens Pulver told me that last night he would get involved as well, because, as you know, he was abused as a child, and he's been very vocal about that. Think about this, Don. Think about this. The older boy that taped it, think about this for a moment. I want everybody to think about this. Think about how scared he must have been to not step in and video and audiotape his father doing that with him not stepping in, because that's how scared he was. Or obviously he would have stepped in, right?
Well, you could hear the father say, "Do you want me to beat your ass too?" I mean, seriously, if nobody finds anything wrong with that, they're sick and demented.
Yeah, you just can't believe how many times that they have asked, you know, told me that the dad comes home drunk and does this. And actually, now I know that their mother is not the crazy one. Now I know who really is. You know, the mother, she's a good person. She just could not be around that abuse anymore, and she had to leave. She had to get away out of there. She tried to take the kids. She took them to Dove. She escaped with them from Chicago when they used to live in Chicago and came to Decatur. She escaped with them and went down. They were all living at Dove years back when they were really little. And you know, some things happened where she just got out of there and left, you know. And I'm not saying that's a good, I don't know, I don't live in her life, but now I know why. Now the pic after this, the picture is very clear to me.
Yes, and like I stated earlier, even if you didn't come on the show and people were just to hear the audio, if you sat right with that audio and not even hearing the interview, then I don't understand your train of thought in life as a person, as a parent, or just an individual in society. If we allow society to be ran this way and our children to be abused in this magnitude, then what purpose are we serving to anybody in a justifiable manner? You know, Jason,
That's why I commend the top man that I had to go to. I had to go to the very top, and I commend him. He's going to hopefully do everything legally he can to make sure that something is done, and I commend him for that, because, you know, a lot of people told me, you know how many people told me, "Jason, just forget about it. Let it go. Just let it go." I mean, I'm sorry, but you know what? Yeah, I am a fucking warrior. And no, I'm not letting that go. I'm a protector, okay? That's what warriors do. They protect the innocent.
Yes. And now I will join this plight with you, as this has made me sick to my stomach. You know, initially when I planned on doing this show, I had planned on doing maybe an hour tops. And, you know, here we've probably been on, you know, for an hour and a half. And I still don't feel that, you know, we've truly done any justification in society. And that's why once we're done with the programming, you know, the plight has just begun, my brother. The plight has
appreciate
just begun.
That,
you know,
God.
I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. If there's anything else that you would like to add to the program or anything that you would just like to state before I let you go here, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, brother, I just want to tell kids out there and adults, you know, if you you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future, you know. And I can't take credit for that quote. A wrestler said that quote to a group of kids, and it always stuck with me. So I've always told my daughter this quote, and that's a very strong quote. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And you've got to not surround, you have to get away from negative people in your life. You have to surround yourself with positive people, and that's it. That's what I'd like to express to the youth out there. And that's about it, you know. And as martial artists, we're not savages. We're professional martial artists. Had I wanted to, I could have really, really, really hurt this man. And I was trying not to hurt him at all. I was trying to save myself from getting, you know, knocked off the ledge and going backwards. But, you know, even when he bit my hand, and you saw the pictures of him biting me when I had my knee on the stomach with a jiu-jitsu move, I didn't even punch him. I didn't elbow him. I didn't punch him. You know, so my point is we are self-control. We have self-control. Self-control is taught in martial arts. And that's one of the beauties about martial arts is self-control. We're taught not to fight unless we are physically attacked or, you know, helping someone else that is being attacked. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I truly do. And, you know, like I said, our future together is just begun. You have my contact number. You have every means of, you know, at your disposal of getting a hold of me. Let's just start this and continue to move forward and help these children. Help the people that truly need a facet, an avenue to get help so they don't have to live this type of life and continue to, you know, live their life that way and instill that in their children. You know, it's people like you who truly break the cycle in life, and I commend you for coming on the show today and sharing what you could about the situation, the mannerism that you conducted during this whole thing has actually, you know, attacked part of your life and your character, but yet you still see the plight as being the most important aspect of this, and that just says magnitudes about you as a man and the way you walk in life. And I was truly honored to have you on today's show, sir.
Thanks a lot, Don. I really appreciate those compliments. I'm not deserving of that. I'm just a normal, down-to-earth guy, you know, and that's it. You know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes in my life, but beating a child or laying your hands on a woman is not one of them.
No, brother. You know,
And Don, you know, the men or the dads, I don't want to call them men, that's giving them too much of a compliment, but dads, I don't even want to really say that, really, but it is, dads that beat their kids, a lot of times they control their children with money, because the kids know the kids are screwed. If they tell on their dads, if they tell on their moms for beating them or their dads, and they're getting money, and they're getting, you know, their money to go buy what they want, their toys and their iPhones and all that, that they know that'll be shut off. So they just take this abuse, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to change whatever aspect of, you know, this scenario that we can moving in the, you know, into the future. Like I said, I'm going to get in contact with my friends who are U.S. Marshals and see what I can do on that avenue, and I'll put you in contact with them, and let's just keep moving this plight forward. This will definitely not be the first or last interview that we have. This doesn't sit well with me as a human being, a man, a father.
No, me either.
It just doesn't sit right. On that note, Jason, you have a tremendous evening, and God bless you.
Yeah, you too. God bless you too, Don, and thank you so much, all right?
Hey, you don't got to thank me, brother. Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Have a great night. You too. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jason Reinhardt, a UFC veteran, caught up in a situation. And even though atrocities were played out on his life and I felt he was unjustly served in the judicial, I can't even speak tonight, in the judicial system, you know, he was, if you listen to the scenario, he was the one that was physically assaulted first. You know, the law states that you do not have to touch an individual to assault them. If you come at a person in a dangerous manner with ill intent, and you do spit on them, that is considered assault. And that's how our country has worked. And it's worked that way for many, many years, and it's going to continue to work that way. Unfortunately, the attorney for Mr. Reinhart didn't bring up the audio or the situation of the assault in court, and he ultimately had to plea. Otherwise, he was facing a felony for protecting a child. And that doesn't sit well with me. On that note, I don't want any dramatization from this show. I just wanted it to be purely factual. I appreciate Mr. Reinhart coming on to this program today and being so open about his life and about the situation. He had no third-party involvement. They reached out to my show. He had no knowledge of this. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the United Way Merced, Affliction, the 86ers, and I know each and every one of them would back me in this show today, as they all are parents and they all have children, and you just don't do that. On that note, it was a heart-wrenching show for me. I want to, thank all my listeners and to everybody out there. If you see somebody in need, don't close your eyes. Otherwise the world will never change. I know we can't change the world at once, but we can take a step at a time. On that note, here's Dear Mama by Tupac.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary.